give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back, the Wolves of Ball Street, your favorite draft analyst, It's the Draft Act, NBA Draft Show on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. My name is Corey Tulliba. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Garbage Time Gim. Albert, what's going on, man?
All's good. Excited to be back, as always. It's been a really eventful. I mean, like, we're kind of in busy season right now. We're getting closer and closer to the NBA draft, so it's good. And, I mean, dude, what's more exciting than having a future NBA player on the pod with us talking about all kinds of fun stuff, talking about his game? This is really exciting for me, as always. And Corey, I know you talked about it with our guest before we started recording, but our first time follow-up guest as like a prospect coming on, talking about his game and stuff. This is really exciting stuff.
I'm really, really stoked for this episode because the first one was so much fun. So, you know, high expectations from all around from everybody here. We got Jalen Clark back with us. Jalen, what's going on, man?
What's good with y'all, man?
Man, chilling here. It's an exciting time for us because, you know, we cover the draft and now the college season is officially over. But I would wager it's probably a more exciting time for you, given, you know, the fact that there's only one of us on this stream right now that is, you know, going to be living out their dream to play in the NBA within, you know, the calendar year. So,
All the excitement got and disappeared.
He just disappeared.
Boy. I know. Oh, he's coming back. There he is.
There he is. He's back.
I don't know. He's back. Difficulties on my end so far. But I'm
magic trick.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Oh boy. Okay. I guess we can kind of jump right into it. Little segue. I know Corey is going to be putting up some awesome stuff with the graphics and stuff. But Jalen, let's not beat around the bush. Gonna ask you how, because, you know, we're all concerned, and you're a guy that, you know, almost everybody at our, actually, what am I saying? Everybody at our website, we love your game. Love the progress that you showed this season. So obviously it was an unfortunate end to your season with the injury. So just wanted to check in, see how you're feeling, see how the rehab process is going, how everything is at right now.
I've never felt bad for myself. Like, as soon as it happened, like, I've never had an injury before, but like, from, because my dad tore his. So right when it happened, I know exactly what it was. If you know what I mean, and it was ironic. I stole the ball and then laid it in, and it was like I finally was getting going because I had missed like 4 or 5 threes. I banged a three and came down, and they had the ball. I stole it, tipped it out from behind, and I was gonna dunk it, but I thought he was on my like tail, so I was like, I'm just gonna lay it in and get back, and then laid it in and went to go run and push out, and I felt it immediately. If you know what I mean, so that was unfortunate. Very unfortunate, but I'm more of a life keeps moving type person. Mm-hmm. You can't feel bad for yourself because all that time you can sit dwelling and all that, somebody else is working and getting further ahead. The thing that did suck is obviously how my medical comes back is going to decide if I get drafted or not. Like, that's just the reality of the situation, if you know what I mean. But the thing I'm not worried about is if I, because I maintain my eligibility, so I can go back if I have to. That's like if I have to. But the best thing is I feel like I'm good enough regardless. If you're good enough to get there, I feel like you're going to get there. You know what I mean? I still was able to accomplish some really cool things by sweeping all the defensive player of the years and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's still – I'm very grateful if it was going to happen when it happened because it at least allowed me to play a whole year before anything. So, yeah, I'm in a good place, though.
I mean, hey, that's great to hear. I think obviously, you know, any type of injury like that, you're going to have your concerns. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Corey just put it up there. But, you know, Naismith, Defensive Player of the Year, that's freaking incredible. And regardless of the injury, like you just said, I think where you're at right now at with your career at UCLA and what you've been able to accomplish. I just feel like you've done so much. And hey, I mean, honestly, the tape kind of speaks for itself. And we did a whole pod with you early in the year talking about your game and what you've accomplished and how much you've grown in a, as a player. So I really love that you have that mentality right now where you're not feeling sorry, you're not feeling down for yourself, because as they say, right, the marathon continues, you know, the journey continues, and you're well on your way.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm looking at it in all realistics right now. If I go, I'll probably be a second-round pick for sure, if you know what I mean, unless something crazy happened. I mean, you never know, but unless something crazy happened, you're looking at second round. But the beautiful thing is if I can get healthy and stuff, you get paid quicker on the back end if you're a second-round pick, if you know what I mean. So in my heart, if I really feel like I'm a first-round talent, which I feel like I was starting to pick it up on the back end of the year against Arizona State. I had a double-double Arizona. I'm five steals at halftime, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I would have picked it back up. But, yeah, I feel like it's just going to be another crazy part to my story. And like I said, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. Like, I'm going to be okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, I'm really excited to see how all this stuff works out. It's weird because – I know I'm not working out.
Right.
So like the ball is kind of out of my control right now. I get to interview and all that stuff.
For sure.
And like I got my UAC back. My UAC gave me a lot of confidence, like a ton of confidence. I was like, oh, yeah, I should be okay. But, you know, UACs get kind of – but from what I read back on my report, I should be very, very good. May shock a lot of people where it came back as.
I think it's interesting what you said about, you know, like you – if you're a second round pick, you get it quicker. And even if, you know, I'm looking at somebody who's playing in the playoffs right now at a really high level who went undrafted in your backyard, Austin Reeves right now, he set this offseason already to get, you know, a nice payday.
I've seen it like 100 mil is the word number flowing around.
Yeah. Now. Like, you know, he came in as a guy who was like a little older, and so teams, I guess, got scared by, you know, his age or whatever, and he showed that he was able to come in right away. And now, you know, he's going to reap the rewards. So like you said, it doesn't really, you know, you think you're a first-round talent. I bet he believed he was a first-round talent as well. Mm-hmm. So it, regardless of the results, you know, it doesn't determine your NBA future. Like you said, whatever happens is going to happen for sure.
Exactly. And I think the thing, like when I, especially when I was healthy, I started going to a lot more NBA games. And one thing I will say is I feel like defensively, especially in the regular season, I could kill it on that end of the court. If defensively I can go, and especially because my Achilles is messed up right now, all I've been doing is form shooting instead of working. Because if I can shoot 37% at plus in the league and then run around and chase whoever I'll play until I don't want to play no more, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If we just being honest, and that's if nothing else develops. If I could just shoot 37% from three and take the guard the best player, that's with nothing else, I'll be fine, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So that's like my bottom ceiling, and I think that's going to be like probably my best pitch when I sit down with people and start talking. And then I'm a good person. I feel like that helps out a lot. I'm not a – you don't got to worry about me partying, drinking, smoking, nothing like that. So I feel like I need every little edge I can get.
For sure.
Because I'm my physical abilities. Because there's some people that are just so talented, it's not going to matter what they do.
No, Jay, I just want to say, you know, Corey gave the example of Austin Reeves, and I don't know, maybe Corey and I were showing our age a little bit, but like even a guy like Gilbert Arenas back in the day.
Hey, Gilbert, I actually just sat down and talked with him.
There it is. Good. That's awesome. Yeah, because that's another great example, right? A guy who came in as a second round pick, kind of earned his way. And, you know, he knew what he was capable of doing. He said it on a million podcasts now. He always said, dude, I was way better than Richard Jefferson, whatever. Yeah, you know. And then early on, you know, after he proved it in the league, he got that contract that you're talking about. So, Jalen, you know, and this is not just us because you're on a pod with us and you've been on a pod with us a couple times now. But, I mean, you read my piece on you. You've seen the stuff that our people have written about you. We're huge fans of your game. And, you know, with you deciding to declare for the draft, something that I've been wondering was, obviously you had the injury and all that stuff. And, you know, it's never easy to make that decision to take that next leap and to, you know, test the waters and see what's going on.
Really, if I'm keeping it, man, I was in the place when it first happened. I thought all that was kind of over. You know what I mean? Because you don't hear too often people going in there hurt. And then whatever. And then I got a call and it was like, hey, you need to go. You need to go. Then I get another call. You need to go. Then I get another call from like reputable people. And then, like I said, then I submit my UAC and it comes back and it's like, okay, well, this isn't like just a random mock draft, if you get what I mean. Like a UAC, I'm not saying they're all accurate and everything, but most of the time, like if you're going undrafted, that thing will tell you you're going undrafted, if you know what I mean. And it didn't say nothing like that. So I was like, oh, well, if this ain't a sign, this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I was like, I could go ahead and maintain my eligibility. And like I said, worst case, I mean, the worst case they can say is no, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you might as well go up in there and try. So you may be able, I may be able to talk my way into something, or somebody may be like, look, we don't need you right now, but we'll hold you. You get healthy and then you play next year. You know what I mean? So a lot of different factors going in. How long my injury is. Doctors said it can range anywhere from 8 months. Kobe came back in 7 and some change, but he was different. So eight months to 12. But if it's in 8 months, now you're telling NBA teams I'm going to be ready in November, December. That changes a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like ready to play in December, November. And if I'm fortunate with who I signed with, they got me with all the top doctors and people who rehab Klay Thompson and all the other KD and stuff like that, sending me to their facility. So, and they came back playing pretty good. So,
yeah. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You mentioned that like you spoke to Gilbert. Are there any other players that have either come through UCLA or just guys that you've been around in general that have gone through this process before that have kind of, you know, given you advice on how to navigate it over the next couple of months?
Like just pre-draft in general?
Yeah, or I guess even just preparing for life in the NBA, just any kind of advice for your future.
Well, most of my friends are already in the NBA. I play on Compton Magic, so Evan Mobley, Nick Onyeka Okongwu, Dalen Terry, Johnny Juzang, Isaiah Mobley, we were all on the same team.
Like, it's a squad.
Sick team.
So once I get in, that would be like 7 people off one team, which is pretty crazy, if you know what I mean. And we have the whole thing documented. I'm pretty sure it's Hope's going to sell it to Netflix, and they're going to make a movie out of it, because I think 7's enough to go ahead and get it made.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good amount.
Yeah, so they helped me through the whole thing, because like the hardest part, I feel like, is the agent process.
Mm.
And that's when I hit my wall, kind of. Because mentally, I was like, it's like you're trying to, instead, at first beginning of the year, no one expected nothing out of me for keeping it a band. So I was just out there running around playing free. And now it's like, oh, we want you, they like, it's not even you're not listening, but you're just subconscious to yourself. So it's like, you need to start shooting 5 to 7 threes a game and this and that. And when you start thinking about all that stuff and trying to balance it out, it don't ever work out like the way you want it to. You know what I mean? So. Towards the back end of the year, when I finally picked somebody, my play started to return right away to how it was before. But like I said, they helped me guide through that process more than the pre-draft stuff, because I'm not going to have a normal pre-draft. Like right now, I'm down here at my girlfriend's house. You know what I mean? We're just chilling, watching movies or whatever. And normally I'd be in Glendale right now working out every day. So like I'm not having like a normal pre-draft process. I really got to wait till we start. The playoffs is going on too right now, so I got to wait for all this stuff to go, and then really to start interviewing, and then combine, and then after that. And I'm blessed. The CBA just passed that new rule, so I'm lucky I'm in this year's draft, not next year's. I think you have to compete in the combine now in order to go ahead and get drafted. I saw something like that.
Yeah, you have to. I think you just have to you don't have to play in the scrimmage, but you have to like measure and I guess
do everything.
Yeah, do everything else. Yeah,
because our agents control it all right now.
Yeah. Now you said you mentioned the playoffs are on right now. I want to know, do you happen to watch maybe Davion Mitchell's defense on Steph at all?
Off night.
I mean, one of the craziest defenders, but and you're like significantly taller than him. Yeah. But when you, I look at certain guys in the league, and Davion's a guy, like you said, like you just got to hit like a certain percentage from three to really be able to make an impact, right? And he's not even fully there yet. You know, like, you don't want to leave him open because he's been in big games and he hit, knocked down a big one. But that kind of defense, like just in the playoffs, where just you could just be a straight up pest.
Well, I'm looking at even like, I remember Herb Jones in college. I played him my freshman year. And I remember when he got picked up, I was like, there's no way he's going to last in the NBA. Because he wasn't playing defense like that. He wasn't playing defense like that at Alabama. Because when we played him, he wasn't no lockdown. He was the main scorer.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's hard to balance.
I saw him start running around really guarding people. I was like, oh, he's going to play forever, you know, because he's just so long and stuff. Or even Jaden McDaniels, people like that. Mm. And that's why all these kids get caught up in how much they can put this ball in the hole. Mm. Like, you can pay for the other side, too. And then your offense is just a plus, if you know what I mean.
That's right. And you know, Jalen, something that I've been wondering, you know, last time we had you on, and you just said to yourself, like, a lot of people are in your ear telling you got to take more threes, you got to improve on different things on the offensive side of the ball. Something I'm curious about, rather than thinking so much about improving on the offensive side of the ball, obviously you're defensive player of the year. We have incredible tape of you playing some awesome defense. But I was wondering, are there certain aspects of your game on the defensive side where you still feel like there's some tuning that you want to do, you want to get better at certain things?
Oh, yeah. First, I feel like sometimes I start gambling OD. Like when we were playing Stanford, I looked up at halftime and said, I have 4 steals. I'm getting 10 tonight, if you know what I mean. And it cost me stuff. Like, so sometimes I get like antsy. And then other things I say is I probably have to hit the weight room more and yesterday, but being able to hold ground against bigger guys. Because right now, if it's a bigger guy, I'm counting in my head 1, 2, and I'm trying to take a charge. Mm. But like at this next level, as I'm seeing, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't, if you know what I mean. Like it goes either way. And then staying in front of the ball, being able to pressure little guards, like people like Tiger Campbell, like in practice, I'm giving him more space than I feel like someone my size, if you know what I mean. Mm. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot more I could still work on though.
Yeah, I think that's, but it's good that you're getting reps on a guy like Tiger, right? Because especially in the NBA, like if you're guarding Dame or something, right? If that's your task, you can't really give him any space.
No. When I'm watching the NBA, I don't think NBA, like when I get there, days of shutting people's water completely off is over.
Over.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's more just containing. Like you're not keeping Steph and Curry to 0 points. Like,
no.
Or Damian Lillard, they're not going for 0 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if it's like if he gets a hard 18, if I made him work for 18, that you did your job.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, sometimes if they get 25 and you make them work, like you know, like that's super important. And I feel like that's what all the best defenders are capable of doing. It's just making them have to work for their shots because the NBA is so much about like high efficiency, right? And in those big games, in those big moments, things slow down. They grind out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to just make them work for that shot, and then you know if they make it, sometimes like all right, clap it up, do it again, right? Yeah. Like that's that next play mentality.
And in college, you don't see that as much. Like right now in college, if I really want to go get up in somebody and take it, like even like if they're coming off a down screen, I'm like, all right, well I already know you're throwing it there. If you know what I mean. Like stuff like that is not going to happen no more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jalen, something you were saying before about Herb Jones and how, you know, what you saw in college was so different from what you're seeing in the NBA. You kind of didn't know he had that in him. I wonder if NBA teams were looking at you and asking that same question. Obviously, there's a lot of tape now of you in college. Do you feel like there's going to be a different version of you in the NBA? What are certain things that about aspects of your game that might be a little underrated or maybe people haven't seen yet?
Oh, for the first thing, I'm a better passer than Sean. If you, I mean, if you go look at some, I don't get hella assists because I was an off ball. Yeah. Like most of the time, I got the balls off a damn steal. That's a little like, you know what I mean, or a broken play, and I'm just running the floor. But I can pass the ball better than I get credited for. And then rebounding too. I feel like that's a very big thing at the next level. Like I said, the shooting stuff, I feel like it will come. As I put more and more work in, I jumped over 10% this year,
yeah,
which is pretty good. And that's including my six misses and one make against U of A, which is why I was so hot, because I was floating around 35-36% the whole year. And then that game came, I'm like, damn, that's going to be my last one. But, yeah, probably passing and my rebounding for sure.
And you know what, Jalen, I will say, I saw you up close in person a couple of times, was on the floor during shoot around and stuff like that. I felt like the shot, I definitely feel like you've made mechanical adjustments. I think you've worked on it for sure. It looks cleaner compared to what I saw 2 years ago and then what I saw this year in person. I just feel like things have gotten tighter, more compact.
Yeah.
What are the main things that you've worked on to get that shot to look cleaner?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't work out with this summer. I didn't work out with nobody. I was before my junior, I was in the gym. I was down here in San Diego and I was my boy Justin used to help me out a little, but other than him, nah, I would be in the gym and I'd just be since I don't got no shooting coach or whatever, and I'm not finna pay nobody this, if I can just get this broke shot up to 35%, I'll be fine. I look around, nobody shoots the ball the exact same. And then over time, it just kind of smoothed itself out a little bit. I still tilt my head when I shoot and don't get all the way up under the ball and kind of float my round right. But I feel like as long as I know what I'm doing wrong, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be fine. So, like I said, this next step, especially because I can't walk right now, I'm going to be able to get my form really good and tight. So I'm expecting to jump when I get back.
Yeah, I love the perspective that you have where it's all right, what's the question in my game? It's the shot, right? Well, mm-hmm. Now that's the only thing you can really work on.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it where maybe it's a blessing in disguise long term, because you have real opportunity to just grind out on your form and iron all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes when you're in the moment, right? You don't always look at that optimistic side, that glass half full. But I think if we look back in a couple of years and you could be wow, I really was able to make improvements during a situation that most people would kind of be down in the dumps in.
Well, I'm a realist too, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. When people talk about negative parts of people's game, I know they get butt hurt or upset or it makes them irritated or whatever. Half the stuff that people would tell me, I already know. You know what I mean? Not in a cocky way, but I know if you ask me, what do I need to fix? First, I dribble too high. I don't get down, if you know what I mean. I don't get my shoulders down. My favorite move, I spin way too much. I need to get other counters and stuff because when I'm in trouble, I just spin. My jump shot, I got to get more consistent and get a dribble pull-up because right now I'm three ball or all the way float or layup, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So, I'm really, really realistic. I just try to attack one thing every summer and just get better at that. And then slowly I'll knock them all off the list.
Yeah. And you know, I really love what Corey was saying, right? The whole perspective aspect of it and kind of being real with where you are and making the most of it. Because I remember growing up Knicks fan, I remember they would always talk about with a guy like David Lee, how he was a lefty, but he had a good right hand because one summer he just broke his hand and he had no choice but to use his right hand a lot, mm-hmm. right? And with where you are right now, and it's unfortunate once again that you had your injury, but as you said, this is a good opportunity for you to work on the form shooting, to work on the things that being able to control what you can control is still awesome and being in control. So really excited for that part.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And sorry, go ahead, Corey.
No, I was just saying, I think it's an important perspective too for you to have. And like you said, everything you need to do to work on that perspective, I think is going to help you in your NBA career, because I think a lot of times guys will go through this process, they'll get drafted, and then the reality hits that they're in the NBA. And, you've been probably a star or one of the stars on every team that you've been on since you were a kid, one of the best players at least. And then you got guys that are first round picks now that they send them right down to the G League. And it's a process. So that control, what you can control, and that mindset of all right, well, can I do something to get better while I'm in this situation? I think it's a really helpful perspective for any player to have, regardless of what level they're at.
Yeah. And one thing I will say too, is I feel like I have a little advantage over people, is I've been the guy that didn't play. If you look at my freshman year tape, I didn't play at all. if I was playing, I was playing center, if you know what I mean. That was it. So I know what it's like to have to sit down and wait your turn and all that. And you got to keep a good mental frame. Then sophomore year, I play a little bit more. I wasn't playing 20 minutes a game yet, and it's a 32-minute game or whatever. And then, 40-minute game. And then junior year, I finally break out and I'm playing over 30. So yeah. I know how this whole process goes of always getting knocked back down to the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
And I keep climbing every time. So,
yeah. No, dude, I think it's awesome. And you know what, Jalen, I really do love how you have that perspective where you're looking back at freshman season, sophomore year, and where you are now. And something that I wanted to ask is, you know, you've declared for the draft and there's a real, very real possibility you end up staying in and getting drafted and who knows, right? But that means with the new chapter opening up and you now turning that page in your life and in your career, looking back a little bit at your time at Westwood, the 3 years that you spent there, what do you think you're going to miss the most? You know, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be basketball related, but just wondering about that time and the legacy that you left behind as a UCLA player and student and person.
Probably most thing I miss is my teammates for sure. This year was a really special group. That's why we hated the way it ended with me and them going out. Cause I feel like we would have got past Gonzaga for sure.
Yeah.
We weren't worried about Gonzaga because guard wise, we would have took them out the game, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. They were thin at that spot. Mm-hmm. And then we could have gave Drew Timmy more attention and they still battled. Like, I mean, I thought we'd won the game till Julian pulled up from half court. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah, exactly. And we're down two starters. I don't think anybody had us like that. Two starters against Gonzaga. I don't think anyone thought it was going down to the buzzer. Probably that. And my team is because we did everything together. Like almost like birthdays, like we was always together. My freshman and sophomore year, I wasn't around them like that. I was a kid that always went home because I only lived 45 minutes from UCLA. Like I'm from the area. So I'd go home or be down here in San Diego. So this year, it was the first year I'm like, I'm going to buy into this thing 100%. And just like just the fun aspect of it, it was just, we had a great time.
That's awesome, man. I think, you know, I don't know, Corey and I were a lot older. We were just talking before we started recording how we went to college so long ago. forever.
Where'd y'all go?
Huh?
Where'd y'all go?
Corey went to a bigger school than I did. I went to a tiny school in New York, went to a little city college in New York. Corey, where did you go again? I always forget.
Well, so I did a semester at University of Central Florida. And then I graduated from Adelphi University, which is like a D2 school.
You're a Taylor Hendricks fan.
I like Taylor. I like Taylor's game a lot. I saw him. I drove up to Philly to watch them play Temple, and he played well. Okay. He played well, yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, you know, Jalen, I think it's awesome to look back and you know, kind of like a follow-up question to that is, how do you think people are going to remember you, whether it's your teammates or coaches or staff
That's why I was so mad I didn't get that steal record because I would have cracked it wide open. Mm. Like, I finished with like 78 and they played three or four games in the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or three or four. And then they went to the third round in March Madness and lost. And against Asheville, all respect to UNC Asheville, but they were petrified on, like, they weren't ready to play at all. I would have had, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's why I was so, and I was averaging, like, I think it was 2.7 with math on that. I would have pushed it probably to in the hundreds. But I am happy I got the defensive player of the year thing because that leaves my mark. Like,
yes.
I'm the first one ever in Westwood to do something like that, if you know what I mean? So, yeah. In the all time UCLA defensive greats or whatever. Just off that alone, they got to put my name in there, if you know what I mean. So that's cool to have left behind.
Yeah, that is, I mean, we're talking about UCLA here. You know, we're not talking about Albert City School here or Adelphi University. UCLA is one of, if not the most storied college basketball program in all of college basketball history. So, I mean, I literally, you know, took a class on John Wooden. So like, that's something to be proud of for sure. Like to be the defensive player of the year at that school in nationally. It's amazing, man.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool.
I just want to say, you know, shout out to Baruch College where I went, go Bearcats. Oh God. But no, Jalen, I think that's awesome. And you know what? I do want to say the amount of confidence that you're always speaking with about your game, the optimism, the positivity. I think all that's awesome. And you know, that kind of really helps lead me into my next question that I had for you. And you know, obviously this next process, right? Combine, pre-draft, all that stuff. You're going to be meeting with a lot of people who only know you by your film. They only know what they've seen on the screen. Yeah. They only know you by what they've seen by your play. But what do you think are certain aspects of you as a person that I think that you think might be a little underrated or people don't know about that might surprise people? Like, let's say, I don't know, some random NBA team, let's say, you know, the New York Knicks or whoever sit down with you and they start asking questions and they meet with you. What's something about you, your personality that might surprise NBA teams a little bit?
Yeah, I'm very first optimistic, uplifting. Obviously, I know I'm going to get mad questions about my injury. I'm not a negative person at all. Always smiling, goofing around. I think the thing that helps me, if they really look into everything, like they'll watch my YouTube channel, you get to see a lot. I'm a big personality. Like I said, I got my annual free basketball camp in my hometown that I give back to kids. We get them all the new shoes and stuff. And I feel like I'm just a great person to have around. I'm a winner at every level, if you know what I mean. I ain't high school. Like I already told you, we said that team with seven people in the NBA, we ain't lose a tournament that whole year. Like we ended up playing Team Takeover. They had Justin Moore from Villanova, mm-hmm. Hunter Dickerson, Armando Bacot, Jeremy Roach, and I may be forgetting one or two, but we beat them. That was like the big matchup because it went Nike against Adidas Gauntlet. Just a great overall human being. I ain't gonna give nobody no trouble on and off the court. So it's like really, I feel like I said, overall great human being.
I think, you know, that's incredibly valuable. Like you said, they don't have to worry about you going out partying, all that. Like personality, being able to mesh with your teammates, like that. I mean, if you've been a part of a team, like I'm sure everybody has experienced being around somebody that you're like, all right, we're teammates, but
yeah, exactly. Hey,
tough to be around sometimes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, for sure.
You mentioned your YouTube channel. What was like? What made you want to start that?
My YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I wasn't playing my freshman year, so I was like, if I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna get something out of it. If I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
And I took a whole bunch of editing classes in high school, so I was like, If I'm going to be here, I'm going to go ahead. And it was COVID, so people couldn't come anyway. So I'll show them what it's all like doing this and living this lifestyle. And hopefully some kids like it, and it makes them aspire to go out and be great and work out and try to get to the level I'm at.
Is that something that you are like planning on taking with you to the next level in the NBA?
Oh, no, 1,000%. 1,000%. The only reason I stopped is because we had a lot of personalities on the team, and sometimes stuff would get crazy on the camera. I'm like, I'm not trying to show no one in a negative light or like mad cussing or anything like that.
Yeah.
And anytime I pull the camera out, people know it's up and they know they're going on my YouTube channel. So they start doing the most and saying stuff. So I had to calm down with it.
that's smart. But I think, the reason I even ask is because, you're starting to see a lot more active players take a part in being able to shape their own narrative and give people a look behind the curtains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're some of them, you know, after they retired, JJ Redick transitioned right into a huge media role. You said you took editing classes in high school. Like, is this stuff that you're like interested in just outside of the game of basketball?
Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like basketball is a small portion of the people's life. Like even if you have a long career, let's say you're LeBron James and you play 20 years. I mean, you still got 50, 60 years left of your life not playing basketball. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why I feel like so many kids have only a plan A, like only 60 people get in out of those 60. How many stick in every draft class? I think it's below 15-20%, if you know what I mean. Then how many people are getting pushed out the league? How many people from overseas get in? How many people we don't even know of that show up last minute and just get their name called on draft night and nobody knew about, if you know what I mean? So I feel like so many people have this plan A because a lot of kids don't want to go overseas now. it's below them. So they'd rather sit in the G League and just play these $50,000-$60,000 contracts a year. So I'm a well-versed person. Like basketball is my number one, don't get me wrong. But if it doesn't work out, especially with NIL, I've done certain things where I'm going to be okay and get my UCLA degree. Get my UCLA degree and go figure out some other stuff if I have to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Your NIL stuff has been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
the craziest one, I'll tell you like a crazy story. I made six figures off this coin thing that dropped. And what's so funny is I was about to blow it off. I didn't know what it was. So the people were like, we're going to make you a cryptocurrency. And like, I thought this thing was fake the whole time. So they're having me talk to these reporters I've never heard of, all this stuff. I'm like, this is some BS. So I remember the day before they said, are you ready to drop? And I didn't respond. And I woke up the next morning, they're blowing my phone. I was like, sure, drop it. I don't care. Next thing I know, I see my name on like the ESPN ticker, Bleacher Report, all this stuff. I'm like, what the hell? And then they just start, they're like, here's your share. And I'm like, for what? And they're like, for us using your name and getting publicity. And that thing paid me ridiculous. I was like, oh, damn, I was really going to blow this off too. Mind you, I wasn't playing back then. Back then, I didn't play. I averaged like maybe a point a game. So I'm confused as hell.
Yeah,
I got Johnny Juzang and all these other people. I'm like, why the hell are you picking me? If you're it was a really great move.
Oh my goodness, no, Jalen,
he's out of business.
smart to be skeptical of that, though.
Yeah, now they're out of business. They filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, that's one of the best. I think that's the best story we've ever had on this pod. Like Corey was saying, like just looking at your Instagram page, it's pretty diverse. You've got Maruchan on here. You've got Electrolit USA, Panda Express, Reebok. I know before you were doing like Kane footwear or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
I
this.
A lot of, I get hit up about a lot of stuff.
I
really don't know, like I said, how they pick or whatever. The part I don't understand, especially in girls basketball, not to get off topic, but how college girls get paid so much more than people actually in the WNBA. That feels like kind of backwards to me, if you know what I mean. Mm. And then I didn't realize while we're on their draft slots, how much they get paid. That actually has to get fixed. Like the number one pick got $79,000. That's crazy, if you know what I mean.
Crazy. Like, for sure.
That's really like crazy. Cause like I know people joke around and say they work normal jobs and stuff, but I'm really looking at them like you can't survive. And especially if you're in California or like a big market like New York, off $79,000 if you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
That was a little off topic, but.
No, but it's a important conversation, and I think people are starting to like kind of speak up about it. But that's why so many of the WNBA players have to go overseas during their offseason, and that's where they make
their actual money.
Yeah,
that's where they make the majority of their money. Yeah. That's why I was so disappointed when the whole Caitlin Clark Angel Reese thing happened. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean, because I was like, me personally, I'm the type like. Let them do what they're going to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's basketball, it's competition. People put because I feel like in boys, we push the line way more than what they did, realistically, if you know what I mean. Like, we go way further than them. And that was the first game I feel like that I've really watched the whole game. It was like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Like, we was really jumping around, running around the rooms, if you know what I mean. Like, it was really an entertaining game. That one girl didn't miss a three in the whole first half. Like, normally only averages, like, 6 points a game or whatever. So I feel like that was like a really good moment for girls basketball, and then just went the other way completely after the game. And both of them don't even have an issue with each other. That's what it made it more, if you know what I mean. They both came out and said we're cool. Yeah. So but I hope girls basketball does eventually start creating more revenue for themselves.
Yeah. I think it will. And ultimately I think as negative as like the media handled that whole situation, I do think that like it did draw an interest for people, you know, like it sparked a conversation.
I was about to say like good or bad publicity is publicity. So people that don't even watch girls basketball probably start looking into it and stuff. And then you see, what's her name is about to transfer there. I saw
Dan Liff. Yeah.
Yeah. So if she does that, I mean, everybody probably watch LSU, UConn, And I've been watching Caitlin Clark for a while. She's an incredible talent, like for real.
Yeah.
Very incredible. Stuff she does is unbelievable.
Yeah. And the WNBA game is, you know, phenomenal too. I mean, you know, I got the Liberty, so I got, you know,
You got some dogs over there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always kind of exciting.
To
catch a game.
I wish they could do something for them. I don't think they should be flying commercial and all of that. It's so funny because we had the one girl come back to UCLA who's a top 10 pick, Charisma. She's supposed to be top 10. And I heard the pitch from the head coaches, do you want to fly private and get your food catered and everything or be sitting at Southwest making $70,000 a year?
Dang.
So despite being a top 10 pick, she came back to college.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Really tough. Yeah, exactly.
But hey, I will say, Jalen, when it comes to you and your NIL deals, it just reminds me of, you know, that old Chappelle skit, Wu-Tang Financial. You got to diversify your bonds, man.
Yeah, exactly. You got to diversify, man. You don't want to be in one queue.
Yeah. Obviously, you're doing a good job of that. So congrats on all that.
I appreciate it. My agency does real good.
Yeah. Obviously. And, you know, with pre-draft season and all this, it could be stressful. I know you said you spent a lot of time with your girlfriend, which is awesome. But I was wondering, you know, more of a lighter question, but what are some things you're doing to kind of keep yourself sane? Some things you're doing to just have fun, whether it's video games or Netflix or whatever. What are some things you're doing kind of for your own mental health?
Video games for sure. Not heavy into gaming. Really, I'm not going to lie. When the whole thing, my pre-draft thing's different between like rehabbing and stuff. Rehab's cool because like you feel like you're getting closer and closer and closer to every day, no matter how far you are. But yeah, really, I just be around my family or my girlfriend's family, and that's pretty much it. Both the sides, her family's really talkative and they're funny and stuff's always going on in the house, whether I can walk or not, if you know what I mean. Mine's the same way. Play card games, dominoes, watch movies. Like I said, we really do a lot. For me not to be able to walk, we do a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Because I have a scooter. I can actually show you later. Yeah.
Oh, you got one of those kickstands. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't really have to crutch anywhere. So oh, and I have a pillow. So when we go to the movies, back when I first got out of surgery, I just have my leg in a pillow.
Oh yeah. So we
go. It's a memory phone.
Yeah. So we would go to like the movies and stuff, and I go, you got, because I don't like the little chairs no more. After I got to get the nice reclining chairs when I go to a movie.
Hey, you're Hollywood now, so.
So when I recline, I just put my pillow down, and I could still have my foot elevated and stuff like that. And now I'm to the point where I don't need it elevated no more. I can just move around normal. I feel the doctors tomorrow, and I'll be fully like walking on my own and stuff again. So I won't need any of this stuff anymore. But it was cool. Like I said, the hardest part probably is the first week because you can't really move and stuff. But after that, I mean, the whole time I'm like, hey, I'm getting back to being 100% healthy. So it's been, probably my just family in general is what's been I've been doing in the meantime.
That's awesome. Hey. Family's best.
Yeah. Gotta have your circle.
Yeah, exactly. But now I'm ready for May 31st. I'll know officially what I'm doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I know officially what I'm doing. That's an exciting date. Like I said, I think regardless, my worst case scenario is I go back to UCLA, which is a best case for a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like that's the worst case scenario. So like I said, that's probably why I don't feel too much pressure. Mm-hmm. Obviously my plan A is my plan A and stuff like that. But I haven't been too worried about it. I feel like if I'm good enough, I'm going to get there. Somebody's going to take me.
Right.
If they're too concerned about the injury, I don't have a problem going back and playing some more. At the end of the day, the way I look at it is just basketball. I feel like if you're good enough, you're good enough. If you're not, you're not. It's either you're cut for it or you aren't, if you know what I mean. That's why people go undrafted and rise up, and people who get drafted and weren't as translatable and stuff drop out, if you know what I mean. It's just survival of the fittest. So I think I do a pretty good job at surviving. So go ahead and try my odds, if you know what I mean.
I think, go ahead, Corey.
Now, is there anybody whose story you kind of look at like as an underdog that like really made it in the league that kind of like inspires you?
Underdogs that really made it. It's funny. I actually did a thing and went through second round picks that actually lasted for a while. I mean, some of them I wouldn't like. Would you consider Jokic an underdog or someone no one really scouted?
I mean, I guess that probably goes hand in hand. I think now, like even anybody, there's so many people with access to like Synergy and stuff. Like I feel like if he was coming up now, it would be different. But at the time, probably. But he was probably just under scouted. And I think sometimes back then, people still had there was still like a stigma with like European players. You know what I mean?
Okay. Lou Dort.
Yeah.
For sure.
Lou Dort, super underrated. Let me think who else. Van Vliet.
Mm.
End up turning out really, 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 really well.
Mm-hmm.
As you already said, Austin Reeves worked out very well. Like I said, I went through and looked at all this stuff over and over numerous times. Oh boy, from the Thunder, went to Maryland, 56 pick in the draft. What's his name? Wiggins.
Aaron Wiggins,
56 pick in the draft out of Maryland. Like I said, I didn't look at and sometimes I feel like I don't know how this whole draft thing works for real. If you know, I know people like me and I really don't understand, but it's hard for me to believe sometimes a computer can tell you who to pick and who not.
If you know what I mean. Yeah.
Because I look at analytical, people get too analytical sometimes with some people. Because there's sometimes I'm watching the games, I'm like, he's really good and he's not. But his analytics say he's better, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, those are the people I've looked at that I really watched that I feel like have really flourished given their situations. Even Jalen Williams, the second one, not the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he's playing his butt off and starting in a playoff game. I know that they got bounced or whatever, but he was still in a playoff environment, if you have me starting, and he was a second round. Andrew Nembhard went 31st, and most of the scouts missed on him because I saw him either fit in the late 50s or undrafted, and he's starting on the Pacers and did a really good job, if you have me.
Well, Jalen, I just want to say, you mentioned Jalen Williams, but even J-Dub, Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, he was a guy that I got
y'all
to
interview. Y'all were high on him early, though. Y'all were one of the first ones.
There it is. Yeah, I did an interview with him last year when people weren't really mocking him like that, you know? And I said, in the piece that I wrote about him, I said, hey, the Knicks at 11, they should take him. And he ended up going 12th to the Thunder. And so I wanted to kind of throw that out there because, you know, I don't know how things are going to end up with you, but we're huge fans of your game and, you know, obviously.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Like I said, my thing at the end of the day is going to all depend on what a doctor says, which is kind of unfortunate, but that's the reality of the situation. If they tell people he's going to be 100% and go, I may sneak up higher than people think. And I think my UAC may reflect. If they say, we don't know, I may drop or go back to school, if you know what I mean. So that's just the reality of the situation. I'm okay with it, though, if you know what I mean. Like, I think it's all gonna work out very, very, very well.
For sure. And one last fun question, but I know that you've got your thing with Reebok. I know that you had to wear Jordans all season with UCLA, but just wanted to ask, what are some of your favorite shoes to wear on and off the court? And we're really excited to see you on the League Fits Instagram page someday soon. Yeah. Just wondering what are some brands that you're into right now as well?
Like shoes?
For
League Fits?
Yeah.
I actually just bought my favorite pair. I can show you off if I want.
Okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Always down.
All right. So my good friend Onyeka from the Hawks had these pairs of shoes. And I remember we were playing 2K and he told me to get my money up. I could finally afford them. I could finally afford them now.
Did you tell him about your cryptocurrency though?
Nah.
Ooh.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, I've always wanted these. This is like a really dumb purchase. I got the matching backpack too.
Look at you.
Yes.
Damn.
That's probably not smart because my mom probably gonna watch this. She don't know I'm battling. My parents are financial advisors. Yeah, can we edit this out actually?
Oh, my. Sorry, mom. Sorry.
Yeah. Nah, but on the court,
yeah,
it's hard because I haven't had the freedom.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, like in high school and stuff, where you play for, they don't give a damn what you wear. I would wear the Kobe sixes. Mm. I wear a lot of Kobe sixes.
That's my favorite sneaker of all time.
Stuff like that. And in college, I was stuck Under Armour the first year, which is, yeah. Not going to speak on it.
I can speak. I'll speak on it.
If stuff goes good, they may sign me. I love Under Armour. It was a great time.
I will say that when they first dropped, they were doing like the high top stuff, like the original Stephs, but
it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Big improvement. Then I played on the Adidas circuit. So those are really good. James Harden's were comfortable. Dame's were really good. Dame's was probably my favorite shoe. Dame's probably my favorite shoe. And then I get to Jordan. The weird thing about Jordans, if you're in Nike school, you can wear Jordans. If you're a Jordan school, you can't wear Nikes.
Yeah.
So it gets weird like that. But their stuff is cool. Obviously, their walkarounds is the best thing they give. So we got a whole bunch of PEs and stuff. Yes. I got some Jordan 6 PEs, and then we got some ones this year.
I saw those low top ones with the little check on the front.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I gave them to my dad. I didn't like them, so he's walking around wearing them right now. And my girlfriend was so mad. She's like, "You need to put those in a box." And say, "I was like, I don't really. I'm not a ones person. Sixes though, I got those in my apartment somewhere. I don't really know, but yeah, I got those in my apartment in Westwood. But the best shoes I wore this year probably the Jason Tatum lows. I don't know if that's his signature or if they just wear them, but they're Lowe's, they're Jason Tatum's, and then they have a mid version that I wore a lot too. Mm. And yeah, so it was cool. It was fun. It's funny. Well, it was not funny, but before I tore my Achilles, we're in a timeout, and I had a hole in the left shoe. Mm-hmm. I had a hole in the left shoe. So I run down the floor, and if you watch it, I rolled my ankle the play before. So I step on Tubelis's foot with my left shoe, and my foot kind of comes out. And I run down the floor anyways. And by this point, the hole is like about this big. So then I went and stole the ball and I tore my right Achilles. But they were about to call because they thought my shoe, the hole in the shoe, is what caused it. But it was actually the other foot. Mm. But yeah, no, I wore them things to like it literally ripped a hole in them. Those are my favorite pair of shoes. That was Jordan.
Dang. Well, Tatum just dropped his own signature shoes. So maybe you pick up those.
Like I said, I love all the shoes. If any shoe brands would like to talk and negotiate, we go ahead and make it happen. Under Armour too, as well.
I think the biggest thing that we've learned about Jalen Clark is he's a man about his money. So
yeah,
you've made some smart decisions even here on this podcast. So
mom's a financial advisor, gotta be.
Yeah, man, ain't turning down no money, man.
But hey, Jalen, just wanted to say, number one, I think I'll speak for Corey, even for both of us. I think it was really, really encouraging and kind of, I don't know, even like humbling for me to hear how positive you are about your whole situation. Because like, honestly, some people, they could be really down on themselves and take things the wrong way. But I think where you're at with your mentality and the spirit that you have right now is really awesome. And we're both really pulling for you, really excited for you. Obviously, this is the second time we've had you on the pod. We're looking forward to many more. And we want to keep doing this with you because you've been freaking hilarious and awesome and honest with us on this pod, which has been really refreshing for us. Yeah. So appreciate you coming on. Corey, I know I'll let you say your part as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. We're blessed anytime, you know, people want to come and share their stories and their process with us. Getting to do it twice with you is, you know, has been awesome. Like Albert said, you're by far speak the most freely. And, you know, and I think that, you know, getting to show your true authentic self, maybe because you have a YouTube channel and you're not, you know, you have a little bit of, you know, you're comfortable in front of a camera. But I'll tell you what, besides just YouTube, you definitely have a future in podcasting if you wanted to.
Yeah,
but just as far as your game, man, you know, we're huge fans of the way you play. We've both seen you live. I mean, just watching you pop off the screen, or when you go see you live, you pop watching you, and you know, it analytically, you pop too. So, you know, you've got not just like the eye test, you have the stats behind you. Quick stat, since 2008, guys who have had a BPM of 10.5, defensive rebound percentage 15, steal percentage of 5 from a high major, it's you, Tari Eason, Gary Payton II. And those are, you know, that list. Those are some defensively, you know, yeah. I'll take one of those guys on my team to go throw out at their best player any day. So,
yeah.
We're really excited for you, you know, no matter how the next couple of months go, that's not going to define your career, whether, you know, you end up or not. We know you're going to put in the work and you're going to ultimately end up and maximize whatever the potential that you have. So, thanks again for coming on the show you know, letting the No Ceilings, you know, fans get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all. And like I said, this is fun. This, like, I like that you guys give people platforms to portray themselves. And I wish more people would tell it more how it really is than portraying this whole facade and scared to open up. But yeah, I appreciate it for real.
Yeah, man. Again, good luck the rest of the way. And until next time, y'all. We'll be back next week. As always, make sure you're locked in tomorrow for the double technical with the two Tylers. And until next time, we out. Peace.